Pastor Richard. How you going, church? You good? It's great to be here, and it's been great to meet your pastors. Now, I had no idea about... Now, it's interesting because two things had come to mind when I was praying this afternoon. One was I had a picture of you both, and it was literally like you were alone looking to the future. It was, and I thought, okay, it kind of looked like you're on your own. I thought, this doesn't make sense. The other thing I got, Pastor Richard, there's a teaching gift on your life, and I actually saw that God wants to utilize that in a new way, in a quite a specific way. And so I suspect that something of your future is going to be connected to the training and equipping of future ministers. So your blessing on you both. I tell you, the other thing I want to share is this. Before I was in full-time ministry, my background was in HR, training and recruitment. So if the recruitment panel need an independent, experienced, and someone with a spirit of discernment, I can put the radar over all the candidates. I'm available. I can even let you know the pitfalls of other interviewing panels for church transitions. I'm very familiar with that as well. So anyway, there you go, just offering my services for free. Okay, thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that your word is alive, living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I thank you, Father, for First Light Church. And I thank you, Lord, for the new season that you're going to be leading this church into. And Lord, I thank you that just like the children of Israel transitioned in through different seasons, that Lord, you never neglected to provide for them. Lord, the cloud, the fire, there was never, Lord, lack of direction. And I just thank you, Father, for clarity over this church and the leadership team. I thank you, Father God, that today, your word says today is the day of salvation. And Lord, you are here. Your word says wherever two or more are gathered in your name, that you are with us in the midst. We're gathered in your name, Jesus. And I thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. And Father, right now we are present to your presence. You can only be experienced and accessed now. And I thank you, Lord, for now. Maximize this moment together, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The other thing, sister worship leader, what's your name? Michelle, where are you? Give me a wave. You here? She's gone out to have a coffee. Okay, when she comes back, remind me. I've got something to say. Okay, we're going to start with Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. You know, some people get very nervous when they hear there's a prophet around. You know, people think that we're all seeing and all knowing. Well, we're not. We didn't come out of the womb speaking in tongues. We're no different to any other person. In actual fact, people think that we can see people's sin. A New Testament prophet should not be focused on people's sin. I tell people, I've got enough of my own to worry about. I don't have to worry about yours. In fact, I will probably see you better than you see yourself. Did you know that? A New Testament prophet will see your potential. I'm the one who will, I will see the plan of God. The prophetic calls those things that be not as though they are, right? The gift of discernment can discern that which is as though it is. Gift of discernment can see that which it cannot be seen with the natural eye. But the prophetic is that which speaks to potential, releases a redemptive purpose of God. So if there's anyone here, because there's usually someone who's ducking and weaving, not wanting to be seen. You get the people who are like the donkey in Shrek, pick me, you know, who are hoping to get a prophetic word. Then you get those who are kind of like, oh, she's prophetic. Oh, dear, you know, they start getting a bit nervous. No need to be either. No need to be either. Just in case. Just in case. Because people don't understand the New Testament prophets' function. And they think we're like the Old Testament prophet. But we come to release the love of God, release the encouragement of God, release the potential of God personally, collectively. And so today I want to raise your awareness of who you already are and what you already have. Who you already are and what you already have. If we just maximize those two things, if we just got a revelation of who we already are and what we already have, honestly, we'd have enough power between us all to, you know, usher in the second coming in record time. So Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, identified two separate things: living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. He actually made a distinction. He says, you guys, if you live in the Spirit, let's talk about what it means to live in the Spirit. What he was actually saying is those of you who are alive in Christ, that your spirit is alive. So give me a wave if you've given your life to Jesus. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus? Okay, this is what happened to you. A lot of Christians don't realize what actually happened. When you gave your life to Jesus, however that happened, wherever that happened, however that happened, I was 19 years old. I went to a church service at what was then Morley Assemblies of God on Walter Road. And I have an Italian Catholic heritage, but I went through from about 15, I started to get a spiritual hunger. I started to become spiritually inquisitive, started searching all sorts of different spiritual kind of schools of thought. I dabbled a bit in some Eastern religion. I tried a bit of stuff, New Age stuff, and some that, which in hindsight was quite occultish, to be honest, but at the time I didn't realise it. I actually went to a Hare Krishna festival at Supreme Court Gardens once. Me and my boyfriend at the time. I'll tell you why, because they were advertising a 15-course banquet. That's a true story. But when I went there, they gave you 15 different things on one plate. To an Italian, that is a disgrace. I thought, I'm not staying with these guys. I don't like their food, and I'm not hanging around. But I went to church, Christmas Day service, and I went in response to a newspaper advertisement. Now, the statistics will tell you most people do not go to church for the first time because of advertising. They actually are usually brought by friends, family, some sort of relationship connection. But I literally saw Christmas Day service, and I went expecting to hear about baby Jesus, Mary, Joseph, you know, Christmas Day story. But the pastor that day, he actually preached from John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And for me, it was like the penny dropped. It's like this 5 years or so of searching and challenging Catholic priests whenever they'd come to school. I'm a Mercy College Kundula graduate, and we would have priests come to hear confession. And I'd go in and I'd started to read the Bible, and I'd go in and say, Father, why does it say don't call anyone Father except your Heavenly Father? So I would, you know, challenge the priests. And here I was, and it wasn't just that I heard the good news. I heard good news for the first time that Jesus wanted to give me not just life but abundant life. Honestly, I had seen Jesus on the cross every day of my school education. I had never, ever connected him with life. I thought, hello, Jesus, goodbye, life. And like I was a teenager, you know, I wanted to, girls just want to have fun. Oh, girls just want to have, that's all they really want. Who remembers that? That was me. And I never associated Jesus with fun. And the pastor that day said, he'd come to give us abundant life. Now, I would have said I was looking for a cause. I was looking for a purpose, meaning of life. But at that moment, I realized that's what I'm after. Abundant life. That's what I'm after. It wasn't just what I heard that morning, though. It was what I felt. Because for the first time in my memory, I experienced the tangible presence of God. It was so impacting. As I left the church and the pastor wished me a Merry Christmas, I burst into tears. I just burst into tears. And he asked me the question, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you given your heart to the Lord? I can't even remember the question. I didn't understand it, to be honest. I thought, well, I've been christened first, Holy Communion, and confirmed 3 times that I know of. So I said to him, well, I think so. I think so. But clever pastor, because if you think so and don't know so, you probably haven't so. Right? So he just grabbed my hand there at the door of the church and he led me in a prayer, simple prayer, where I gave my life to Jesus. Right? Received him as my Lord and Saviour. I didn't understand what I was doing, to be honest. I hadn't done an Alpha course. I didn't know the theology behind what was going on. All I knew that in my heart, it was like, God, in this moment, I kind of have this sense that I need you. But really, that was as simple as that. Like, I need you. And as I prayed that prayer, now, this is what I'm coming to, because when you prayed that prayer, or whatever moment it was where you made that admission, where you surrendered your life to Jesus, received him as your Lord and Saviour, what happened in that moment? There was a spiritual transaction. Is that you changed spiritual address. In that moment, I changed spiritual address. I went from death to life, from darkness to light. Like, boom. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he or she who is joined to the Lord, they are one spirit with God, one spirit. So in that moment, at the doorstep of Morley Assemblies of God on Walter Road, it's no longer there, but the Spirit of God, boom, came into my spirit. And I am one spirit with God. You are one spirit with God, one spirit. So it's no longer God from a distance, like he's way, well, I hate that song for the record. Like he's not from a distance. He's more close to you than that person sitting next to you, more closer to you than your husband, your wife, more closer than your mother, your father. I mean, he, one spirit. So at that moment, your spirit became alive, alive. Your spirit is alive on a good day, on a bad day. Don't feel spiritual, doesn't matter. Your spirit's alive. Now, I did have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Now, becoming born again is not a matter of what you feel or not. You may not have felt anything, doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit, boom, moved into your spirit and you became one spirit with God. But I actually did. I was one of those people. It's like the joy came into my heart. The weight lifted off me. I remember skipping out the door like a spring lamb. I remember driving home, singing songs I'd heard for the first time. And from that moment on, I could not get enough. I could not get, my father couldn't cope. When he realised, started going to church twice on a Sunday. He thought I'd joined a cult. Then he got very offended that I'd left the Catholic Church. I'm thinking, I don't know why he's offended I've left. I wasn't going. I hadn't been going for years. And what's more, neither did he. My dad got very religious. When I gave my life to Jesus, he suddenly became very Catholic. I mean, we weren't even Christmas and Easter Catholics. We were just weddings and funerals. That was the only time we stepped into a church. Yeah, he got so offended. Didn't talk to me for about 12 months. And I was living in the same house. Did not acknowledge me. He felt like I was rejecting his leadership and somehow rejecting my culture. But, you know, the gain of being one spirit with God surpassed any persecution that I endured. And so the Apostle Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, so if you're a Christian, you're living in the Spirit. I woke up this morning and I was alive. I did nothing about it overnight. Didn't have to do a thing. Everything was working. The heart was beating. Things ticking over. Right? Because that is my present state. I'm alive until I'm not. And so your spirit, that is your present born again state. You are alive unto God. You are one spirit with God forever now. For eternity. Walking, however, is another thing. If you live in the spirit, let us also walk. And so when I woke up this morning, I've got a few little things I do. First thing in the morning, I wake up before I get out of bed, a few things to help the back warm up, a little bit of some mobilizations. I do a little bit of deep breathing because I can tend to sort of race out of bed with a bit of an anxiety disposition. So I just do a few things, a few prayers to before I even get out of bed. I just have a few ways to set myself up just before I even get out of bed for the rest of the day. Then I choose to walk. Then I choose to walk. Walking in the Spirit is a choice. So you can be a Christian who is living in the Spirit without walking in the Spirit. So I want to give you a couple of keys here today, just again alerting you to what you already have. You don't need today to Hana Mashana Mahanda receive something new. It's just activating that which is already a part of your salvation package. Does that sound good? Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." I find Christians can have two fears. It's interesting. Two fears is the fear firstly, I don't think I'm spiritual enough. You know, some people have this idea that the kingdom of God is like a class system. You know, you got some people who are just more spiritual than others. You know, you might think, I'm Christian, I'm going to heaven, but I'm just like bottom rung here. I'm lower level. And you look at someone else, you know, is perhaps they're in leadership, like Pastor Rena here. Oh, she's up a level. She must be more holy than me. She must be more spiritual than me for her to be a pastor. Yeah, and then we have a look, we go up again and go, Pastor Richard and Joanne, they've been senior pastors. They've got to be, you know, more favoured by God than me. And then we look at someone, you know, like Joyce Meyer. We think, whoa, she's fourth part of the Trinity, you know, like, well, I used to say Benny Hinn was the fourth party. I used to love Benny Hinn. But it's actually not like that at all. It's like it's actually a level playing field. And God has graced us all with everything it takes to walk in the Spirit. No matter who you are, how old you are, how long you've been walking with Jesus, how long you've known the Lord, doesn't matter. Whether you've been, you know, you've had a great track record, got born again, and you've never deviated from the path he had for you. You know, you might have actually literally had the fell on your face. You've walked away from God for a time, or you just went cold. It doesn't matter. You have got everything, not because of who you are, because of whose you are. You have got everything spiritually that you need to walk this Christian life, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has done for you. And this one actually says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. So you're seated in heavenly realms. Another version says, heavenly places. Because the other fear is this, I don't want to be too spiritual. Too late. You're seated in heavenly realms. Oh, don't want to be super spirit. Don't want to be super spiro. Look, some people, you know, I was thinking about this today. It's very subjective what super spiritual is. I go to some churches and I think, oh man, like they're all swinging from the chandeliers and it's like, oh, gee, this is a lot. But to them, it's normal. To them, it's normal. To another person coming in, they go, oh, you're a bunch of super spiros. Oh, they're a bit much. And then I go to other churches. I just want to put a bomb under everyone. Oh, like, my gosh, you people, come on, wake up, get filled with the Spirit, walk, follow Jesus. But it's very subjective, right? But our position, positionally, every single one of you who professes to be a Christian, you are seated in heavenly realms. Because you are united with Christ Jesus. It's because you're one with Him. Because you're one with Him. He's seated in heavenly places, so are you. Don't feel like it. Irrelevant. The Word of God says that God wants to release revelation today of what you already have, who you already are, and where you're already positioned. Father, open eyes today. Galatians. Back to Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk. So walking is a choice. I pray that you will live life with your spiritual antenna up. Like that you will be more and more sensitive and heightened to that spiritual realm around about you. You'll be more aware of what you carry on the inside of you. That you would be aware of rivers of living water that flow out of your innermost being. That you would wake up each morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, remind yourself, I'm on a mission from God. My life is a missionary endeavor. That as you go around, I pray and I ask the Lord, lead me to the ones who are seeking, to the ones who are hungry. Some people are called to the stubborn and hard-headed and those who really aren't interested. I'm called to the ones, Lord, the ones who prayed that prayer this morning. God, if you're real. God, if you're real. The ones who are just, they're searching, they're desperate. I'm like, Lord, lead me to them. Let me cross paths with them. You just bring those divine appointments. This is, I believe, how you can live life. No matter. I used to do that before I was in ministry. For the record, when I was working at Crown Law Department for a time, Education Department, Department of State Services, working in HR. But I would be there. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, listen to this, 19 years old, I was working at what was then the Department of Labor and Industries there in Murray Street in West Perth. Incidentally, I'm a Perth girl. I've only just come back after 32 years of living in the eastern states. So for me, it's an interesting full circle. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at youth group, I went into work the next day. Might have been next day or the Monday. Would have been the Monday. We all gathered. Back in those days, people could smoke in the office. They're having smoko. That was what they'd call morning tea. We'd stop on the clock. We'd have our tea, our coffee and have a chat. And I told them that I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit on the Friday night. Because when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I got boldness. I really did. I got boldness. I wasn't naturally bold. In fact, I was highly sensitive. My mum used to worry how I was going to get through life. I've always had the gift of the gab. I was walking a long time. I was talking, I should say, a long time before I was walking. Like I was talking at 12 months and not walking to about 18 months. Just copy everybody. So I've always had the gift of the gab, but I was... I was not bold, but I got boldness, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I demonstrated to them. I demonstrated praying in tongues. They're at work, at Smoko. This is what I got. Just looking at me, I said, "This is the man." They were curious. They're like, "What?" One girl kept going, "Say it again. Do it again." Don't assume that people in your world are freaked out by this stuff. I was at the hairdresser a few weeks ago and one of the other clients was telling the hairdresser about the psychic she'd gone to see the other day. And, oh, really? And then the other hairdresser saying, oh, yeah, I see so-and-so. Seeing psychics now is like having a GP. True story. I'm not even joking. We're worried about, being too spiritual and freaking people out. We've got a whole generation raised on Harry Potter. who are totally hardwired for the supernatural. And so let's walk. I believe there is a big wake-up call to the church today. You are spiritual, live like it. You are spiritual. Don't mistake righteous behavior with being spiritual. See, you're spiritual because of whose you are, who's living on the inside of you. Right? It's not you become spiritual by doing good works. You do good works because you're spiritual. Does that make sense? So you've got Holy Spirit on the inside of you. What's more, you can hear the voice of God. Let me finish with a crash course in hearing the voice of God. So your spirit and God's spirit is one. When you received God's spirit at that moment you were born again, boom, bam, one spirit with God. At that very moment, something amazing happened. You received everything you needed to hear the voice of God. You see, your spirit is God's receiver. This iPhone here, all iPhone people, give me a wave. My brothers and sisters in Apple, amen. Okay. Actually, that was a part of the conditions of me marrying my husband. He says, you've got to get rid of that PC, and we're now officially a Mac family. I went, okay, there you go. Okay, amen. So your spirit became one spirit. So this phone enables me to receive all sorts of communication. Amazing. All sorts of pictures, voices, like texts, emails. Sometimes it's just buzzing. Bzzz, right? It's communicating to me. Bzzz. Right? You get the idea. You get the idea. So because of this, so your spirit is the receiver. Your spirit is the receiver. You don't receive the voice of God through your brain. That's really good news for some of us who don't have high IQs. Yep, it's not based. If you went to university, graduated from high school, it has got nothing to do with that. You receive the voice of the Lord, impressions from God. So John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. So if you are a Christian, you qualify. Give me a wave. You're a sheep? Bah, right? Okay, bah. I ministered once. Actually, you might find this funny, Pastor Richard. I ministered once in Texas in the US. And when I went, I actually preached on this. I went, bah. And they thought I was saying goodbye. Bye, bye. They thought, why is she saying goodbye? Because of their accent? Right, they're going, bye. No, bah, like a sheep. Thinking, what's wrong with you people? Anyway, me in Texas, it was interesting. Yeah. So sheep hear. My sheep hear. They hear. Not maybe hear, possibly hear, potentially hear. They hear. Not just sheep who've been ordained in the ministry, prophetic sheep. It's just sheep. It's not older sheep. It'd have to be over 20 or over 30, or over 40. It's not read your Bible in a year, sheep. Praying 40 days, 40 nights, fasting, sheep. It's just sheep. Just sheep. My sheep. Some of you here today, there's someone, and you've disqualified yourself for some of these great spiritual gifts from the Lord because you don't think you're good enough. You don't think you're worthy because you're human. And you think you're not holy enough. You go, oh, I haven't read my Bible through in a year. You know, I do the Bible in 1 year plan every year. Right now I'm up to day 56. Because I kind of get stuck on things, you know, and I just kind of, it's not, you don't qualify. You think, oh, I don't deserve it. You know what, you're right. You're right, you don't. I love 2 Corinthians, not in the notes, but so don't go looking for the scripture. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who's made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, because it kills, but of the spirit. So I love the fact the Apostle Paul had a revelation of his insufficiency. It starts with a revelation of your insufficiency. So today, if you think, oh, I'm insufficient, oh, I'm inadequate, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the works of God, good start. You actually need to start there. We all need that starting point where we recognize, you know, I can't do this. But we don't stop there because the promise is of sufficiency. But we are sufficient ministers. Those of you who have some sort of ministry role in this church, you know, you might be leading a small group, you're leading some sort of team, or you're ministering from the platform and worship, give me a wave. Give me a wave. Those of you who've got a ministry position, you are sufficient. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you are sufficient. On a good day, a bad day, you feel weak, you're sufficient. The rest of you, give me a wave. You did put your hand up the last time. I want the rest of you to put your hand up now. Some of you aren't doing it. You're disobeying Auntie Vicky. I can tell. You are sufficient ministers too. You're all sufficient ministers. And we are sufficient to hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You're either not recognizing it or you're not listening. Most people don't recognize the voice of God because they think it's got to come. Could I have the worship team return, please? Like a big hallelujah chorus. You know, the voice of God. Actually, this, can I be honest? The English translation of this verse has done us a disservice. My sheep hear my voice. Well, in English, voice comes out of the mouth, right? And heard by the ears. My sheep hear my voice. But in the Greek, the word voice, phone, P-H-O-N-E, is much broader. It means just like disclosure. And so the voice of God comes just like communication to my mobile phone. Sometimes it'll come to you as a thought. It's a thought. And you go, well, okay, over here, look at me, look at me. Some of you are like, you're watching all the people over there. I'm going to teach you something that's going to change your life. And it's this. Is the thought comes and then you start to say, is that you? Is that me? God, you've been praying for God to speak. You've been praying for direction. Somebody here today, you've been praying, God, I need to know your will. I need to know your will. He starts to give you thoughts and then he says, is that you, Lord? Is that me? What if it's me? What makes you think you're so smart? You didn't get anything before you started praying. You've got nothing of your own to do. Like you didn't come up with any bright ideas. And suddenly you start to get some thoughts. You go, is that you? Is that me? Luke 11 says, if you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. That he loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so when you ask, you start to perhaps you just get a thought. You know, over time, Hebrews 5:14 says, you learn to distinguish between good and evil through reason of use. That simply means that over time, you learn the difference. I'm not saying we can't miss it or can't get it wrong. You know what? We can. But it's not like the will of God isn't like a tightrope where, oh, you're either on it or you're off it. Some people treat the will of God like that. Oh, I need you to pray for me, Pastor Vicky. I want to know if I'm in the will of God. I'm like, you want to be in the will of God? Yes. Well, you're in the will of God. Because the will of God is a state of heart. If your heart is to follow him, people think it's this kind of like, oh, if I make the wrong decision, plummet to my death. Sometimes the voice of God, he just will give us a picture. I remember making a geographical move once because I was praying and I suddenly saw this plant pulled out of a pot and I saw the roots being shaken off and then I saw it being put in out of a pot into the earth and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you've been pot bound. I want to put you in a bigger place. And it prepared me for an invitation that I got to relocate. At the time I was in Brisbane, relocate up to Noosa. God speaks in all sorts of ways. He speaks through others. Sometimes it's just a feeling. Like, oh, I don't have peace. That's like the bzzz. Sometimes you don't actually have to hear anything. It's still the voice of God. All sorts of ways God speaks. Reading the Word of God, right? You're reading your Bible. And something, boom, just jumps out. That's a really reliable way to hear the voice of God. That rhema word comes. Some of you here today, you're more spiritual than you realize. More spiritual than you realize. Amen, amen. Stand up, church. Let me pray for you before I hand back today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift your hands to heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ora mama ma herra na na ma haye. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Father, right now for First Church, First Light Church, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father God, for, Lord, the leading and direction of the Good Shepherd. He wants to remind you, church, that He's a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's good at His job. He knows how to lead. He knows how to guide. And I thank you, Father God. I can see, Lord Jesus, different, all these different sort of cubes. And Lord, these cubes, these boxes are representing different components and compartments of this church. This church is not just a one-dimensional church. This church is not called just to interface with community and the believers at one level. I'm seeing all these different compartments, not departments, but it's like compartments of God's purpose and ministry. And I see they're representing the different gifts. A church has nothing outside of the people who belong. Like, the church is, it's you. You are the church. And I'm just seeing multidimensional. That's the word, multidimensional, multifaceted. And some people have put you into a box. I said, this church is just that church. That church is a such and such church. You're one-dimensional, like you just, but there's much more dimensionals, like the facets of a diamond. So I thank you, Father God, right now, that they will be unpacked. There are some of you here and you're faithful members and you have got a greater part to play in the next season. I speak, Father, a release. I just seeing different heads bobbing up on the landscape, unexpected, unsuspecting. People that were not be kind of, have not been seen because they've been getting prepared in the secret place, getting prepared in obscurity. And I thank you, Father, I speak a release and an activation right now of every person, those here today, those who aren't. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for more. Pastor Richard and Joanne, I can just see, it's like it was on a level and you brought it up and it's another level. But I can see the next installment up again for another level. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. The next level, Father, is going to be a new level of mobilization, a new level, Father, of identity, a new level of identity in the believers, Father, here at First Light Church. And I thank you, Father, you're lifting the esteem. I see you're lifting the esteem that you would have place upon yourselves, that you would place upon, for God esteems you, church. He esteems you highly. What does that mean? It means that He places great value, great importance, great significance on you as a church and your place in the kingdom landscape of this city. So I thank you, Father God, for the uniqueness. I thank you, Father, for ones knowing who they are, knowing what they have. Anyone here who's had issues with hearing the voice of God, quickly, just lift your hand up. You've had issues with hearing the voice of God. You have struggled. You've had struggle discerning the will of the Lord. Just give me a wave, quickly. Just give me a wave. So, Father, right now, for these ones, I break confusion in Jesus' name. I loose right now these people from every lie of the enemy. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, for new spiritual confidence that comes not from who they are, but from whose they are. Not from what they have done, but because of what Jesus has done for them. And I thank you, Father. I loose the spirit of revelation here today that these would walk out today, knowing that though they live in the Spirit, they can also walk in the Spirit, knowing they are seated in heavenly places, and knowing that they are your sheep and they do hear your voice. I loose the prophetic potential of God in this church. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great hand of praise. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.